Morning. Today's daf and tzvachim is pei dalet. We're in pei gimel amud beis. We are halfway down the amud at the two dots. There are a lot of two dots. We are at the juncture of Rabbi Gamliel Amar Kol Haroi. You remember back in the Mishnah introduces us to the concept of his mizbech mekadesh. We started the eighth parak of the Masechta yesterday. The eighth parak is detailing the halachas of the mizbech and the power of the mizbech. I compared yesterday the mizbech to a near miklat. I really like that comparison. It really works. Somebody is in a tenuous situation, a precarious situation. They go to a near miklat and they are afforded a certain amount of protection. So a karban is in a precarious situation. I could say it even stronger. It's disqualified. The karban's disqualified, and under most circumstances, so you put it up on the mizbech, and it could stay on the mizbech. The mizbech has this ability to be collate. It collects it, it absorbs it, it protects it. It could stay up there. The mizbech mekadesh hasaroilo. So the Mishnah opens up with its opening line, with its mantra, and that is that the mizbech is mekadesh, it sanctifies that which is roilo, anything which is fit for it. That's a very broad statement. And then from that point going forward, what we learn together is the various Tanayim who shape that statement, define that statement, and give it some context. You remember that first mission in the Perek? I just want to reiterate it. It's really important. Mizbech Mekadesh, Rashi, Afilu Davar Pasul. Shalom Mizbech, something which is disqualified that goes on to the Mizbech. Kiddusho HaMizbech, the Mizbech actually sanctifies it. Le Asos Lachmo, so that it becomes now the bread of the Mizbech. Vein Morid No So, and then you don't remove it. Okay, so this is the power of the Mizbech. The Mizbech is able to collect. I'll just give you one more example of this idea of the Mizbech being a near miklat. In other words, we know the Torah says, I didn't do the best job quoting the pasuk, but in other words, but the idea is that if somebody, meaning a person, so a person is subject to a death penalty, and he's on the Mizbeach, so you don't take him away in order to sentence him. Once he leaves the Mizbeach, then you do, but in other words, again, it's this idea that the Mizbeach serves as something of a protective force. It's able to provide shelter. So this idea over here now is being expressed in our Mishnah. And then let's just remind ourselves. In the Mishnah, we had three opinions: Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yeshua says that the definition of kol harayilo is kol harayilo ishim. Anything which is going to get burnt on the Mizbeach. So something which is destined to be burnt on the Mizbeach, carbonola, the perfect example. So it's going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So it has to be something which is eligible to be burnt. Rabbi Gamliel is even more expansive. Kol harayilo Mizbeach. Anything which is fit for the Mizbech, meaning it doesn't necessarily have to be burnt on the Mizbech, it simply goes up onto the Mizbech. As pointed out in the Gemara yesterday, what's the difference between Rabbi Yeshua and Gamliel? Very simple. Dam v'nesachim. Blood and nesachim. According to Rabbi Yeshua, so if it's disqualified blood going on the Mizbech, you scrape it off. If it's disqualified nesachim going on the Mizbech, you scrape it off. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Gamliel, no, it's ola ala Mizbech, it goes on the Mizbech. They're not burnt on the Mizbech, but that's fine. As long as it's ola ala mizbech, so that would be sufficient, and it stays on the mizbech. And then in the Mishnah, there was a third opinion, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that you have to differentiate between the main versus an accessory. If the main component of a carbon goes on to the mizbech, it stays on the mizbech. That's the zevach. However, the accessory, the nesachim, when coming as an accessory, is not brought on, is when disqualified, and if poured onto the mizbech, does not remain on the mizbech.
Okay. So Rabbi Shimon says only accessories that come by themselves.
Correct.
But what would invalidate them?
Number of things, meaning all the things that invalidate a carbon will invalidate the accessory as well. It becomes tamei. You can't put up onto the mizbech. Of course, yeah, in other words, right. Lecha tchila, none of it should go onto the mizbech to begin with. Correct. Correct. The entire theme and structure is b'diavad. Okay, and let's pick up right where we left off yesterday. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Kol Haroi. Rabbi Gamliel says Kol Haroi. Now, in the Mishnah itself, you don't even need to get to the Gemara. In the Mishnah itself, each one of them cited a pasuk. Actually, it's from the same parsha in Parshat Tzav. So the source for Rabbi Yeshua is the pasuk Hi Ha'ola, meaning the Ola, the carbon. Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah says Hi Ha'ola Al Mokda. Al HaMizbeach, something that goes on the Mizbeach. Okay, so each one of them cite Pesukim, and so now the Gemara in its classic form is going to just simply delineate what each one of the Tanaim is going to do with the other's Pasuk. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Kol Haroi, we are on the Gemara in Pei Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Yeshua Nami Aksiv Mizbeach. So now Rabbi Yeshua has to acknowledge the fact that the Torah does say Al HaMizbech. So what is he going to do with that pasuk? So Ahumi Baile Mai Ka'amar. So to which Rabbi Yeshua's response would be that the way to understand the Torah is Mai Ka'amar. This is what it's saying. Mai Ka'amar Rachmana Kol Arai LeMokda Mikadesh Mizbeach. The Mizbeach over here is not telling us what qualifies to stay on. The Mizbeach just simply says that it is the vehicle in which it's going to sanctify, meaning it's the Mizbeach that's going to sanctify. That's what the pasuk means. But in other words, but it doesn't qualify what goes on stays on. The Gemara, to which the Gemara says V'idach. Now the counter argument, Mizbeach Achrinik Siv. No, you're right. Meaning the Torah is speaking about the Mizbeach being the vehicle in which if it goes on, it stays on. But that, there's another pasuk using the word Mizbeach. V'idach and the counter argument Chad Lecha DeHaisalosh Asakosh V'Chad Lecha DeHaisalosh Asakosh. To which the counter-argument to that would be, yes, there are two references to Mizbeach in the Torah in the context of this particular parsha. However, I need both. One is telling me that the Mizbeach is able to accept something that at one point in time had a shasa kosher. For example, Tumah. In other words, if a carbon becomes Tameh, at one point it was perfectly eligible, then it becomes Tameh and it's ineligible. Or Lina, right? At one point it was eligible, and then because the sun set, so now the blood is ineligible. So in other words, when something has a shas kosher does not have a shas kosher, you can make a stronger argument that, yes, of course you shouldn't put it on the Mizbeach, but if you do so, the Mizbeach collects it, considering the fact that it had a shas kosher. However, if something never had a shas kosher, so if something never had a shas kosher, Rashi gives the examples of chutz l'zman and chutz m'kamo, where the Kohen had a machshavas pickle at the time when he shechted it. So that means immediately at the time of Shechita already its disqualification is present. One could therefore construct an argument. It shouldn't go on the Mizbeach, and even if it doesn't, it shouldn't stay on the Mizbeach. It never had a shas kosher. That's why I have two psukim, two references of Mizbeach. V'idach, the counter argument to that is, given the psulim ninu, v'rabinu rachmana, lo shna haisa lo shas kosher, lo shna lo haisa lo shas kosher. The counter argument is, look, that's disqualified, that's disqualified. The whole point over here is that the Mizbeach is Mekadesh. I don't need now gradations and levels. Well, this is more disqualified, and therefore I need a second pasuk. The fact of the matter is that they're both disqualified. The Torah says that the Mizbeach is Mekabel. I only need one reference for the Torah to tell me that, and therefore that frees up the other Mizbeach to darshan any item going up onto the Mizbeach, even if it's not burnt on the Mizbeach. Okay, so the Gemara does its classic ping pong back and forth. What Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel are going to counter one another regarding the psukim. Rabbi Shimon Omer Azevach Kasher Tanya. The Gemara here quotes the Brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ola. Again, he also is looking at the pasuk, and the Torah says the word Ola Ma Ola Abba Beglal Atzma Afkal Abba Beglal Atzma Yatsu Nechasim Abba Beglal Zevach. And what he derives from the word Ola is that it has to come as a function of itself. It is not. We're not describing something that is coming as a function of something else. The Sachem obviously are not coming independently. They are coming as an accessory, as a function of a carbon. So therefore, this ability of the Mizbech to be collate and to keep things on top of it, when it's put on, is only regarding the primary carbon, but not anything that accessorizes. Okay, so far so good. We have now recapped the three opinions of our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, the Mizbech is Mekadesh, and Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, those are the three opinions in our Mishnah. And now the Gemara is going to introduce us to two more opinions. Okay? In other words, here's an example where there's not one, there's not two, there's five opinions on the matter. The Braisa starts off, Tanya. We don't have the word Tanya in our Gemara. Okay, but you could put it in there. Shita says to put it in there. Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. So here we are now with our fourth opinion on this topic. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Mitok Shenem Rekolon, Negev Mizbeach Yikdash. Torah says that anything that comes into contact with the Mizbeach Yikdash becomes sanctified. So, Shomei Ani Ben Rawi Ben Shein Rawi. So that means anything, whether it's fit, whether it's not fit. Tamal Omer Kvasim. So in other words, that's a really expansive terminology. Anything going on to Mizbeach, right? Sounds like kimat anything. So then the next word in the Torah is kvasim. Ma kvasim ru'uyim av kol ra'uy. So it has to be kvasim, it has to be actual animals going on to the Mizbeach. Stay tuned. This position will be, and I'm saying this with pun intended, we'll flesh out this position later on. Thank you very much. I'm here all day. Rabbi Kiva Omer Ola. So, and Rabbi Kiva says that, no, the key word over there in that parsha is the word Ola. By the way, we transitioned. The Tanaim of our Mishnah were quoting from Parshat Tzav. These Tanaim are quoting from Parshas Truma. So the Tetzaveh, sorry, Parshas Tetzaveh. So the Rabbi Akiva Omer Ola, Ma Ola Ru'uya, Af Kol Ru'uya. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, Ola. Just like an Ola is fit, so too everything that is fit like an Ola. So either the focus over here in this particular Braisa, between Rabbi Yose Aglil and Rabbi Akiva, is an emphasis on the Kvasim, or it's an emphasis on the Ola. My Beinai, the Gemara says, okay, now what's the difference between them? So Amar Avada Brava Ola Sa'of Psula Ika Meinau. So the Gemara says the difference between them is, what about a disqualified bird? So Mar Maisila Me Ola, Mar Maisila Me Kvasim. So the one who derives it from, one derives it from Ola, and the other one derives it from Kvasim. If you derive it from Ola, is a bird an Ola? Sure it is. So therefore, if a disqualified bird goes up onto the Mizbech, it remains on the Mizbech. If you're deriving it from Kvasim, it has to be the four-legged creature. In other words, the kind of carbon which is an animal. Animal meaning four-legged. But a bird, however, is not does not fall categorically under the Keves, and therefore the disqualified bird does not remain on the Mizbech. What we have over here is basically both Rabbi Yosef Galil and Rabbi Akiva limit that which goes on to the Mizbech as animals. It's just a question of how do we categorize the animal. So from the perspective of Rabbi Kiva, it's anything that falls under the category of Ola, which could be animals, could be birds as well. Masha'enkin, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, it has to be even more limiting. It has to be Kvasim. It has to be a carbon, which is an animal. Now, once again, the Gemara over here within the Braisa now is going to do the back and forth. What is each Tana going to do with the other drasha, or the other pasuk, or in this case, the other word? If the Torah would have said just the word kvasim v'lo k'siv ola, havamina filo mechayim. The Gemara over here entertains a havamina, which admittedly is a strange havamina. If the, let's say the animal goes on to the mizbech alive, maybe then the mizbech could be kolate such an animal. Now, kolate means to absorb it, to
as a live animal?
As a live animal.
But there has to be
there, no? Yeah, in other words, right. What the Gemara is entertaining right now, I'm not 100% clear exactly what the Gemara is entertaining right now. Later on, we're going to be describing in the Gemara perhaps the idea of shechting it on the Mizbeach, flaying it on the Mizbeach. Over here, in other words, that would have been the Havamina.
Just got loose.
Yeah, yeah, and ran right up onto the Mizbeach.
We had a whole discussion about like Korban that could be sacrificed anywhere.
Correct.
It wasn't really practical.
It was just a question of whether the top of the Mizbech is conceptually right. North or not considered right. North. Correct. So, Havamina Filo Mechaim, Kasa Rechmana Ola. So that's why the Torah with the word Ola is telling us that it has to be an animal and it has to be a carbon, meaning one that was already shechted. Ulamanda Maisilema Ola. Now, if you learn from Ola, Haksiv Kvasim, Iksiv Ola Voksiv Kvasim, Havamina Filo Mincha. I would have thought that if it said Ola but didn't say Kvasim, so maybe Mincha would have fallen under that category. The reason why Mincha would have fallen under that category is because categorically, a Mincha is Kadshe Kadashim. It's upper level karbanos. It's the kind of carbon where it's only eaten by Zichrei Kohuna in the Azara. I don't want to say the carbon Ola. Carbon Ola is not eaten at all. But in other words, it's upper level karbanos. So Kachsa of Rechman Kvasim, that's why the Torah says the words Kvasim. So my ika bein hani tanai la hani tanai demas nesin. The Gemara says, let's now note the striking differences between the two tanaim that we just quoted, Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva, versus the tanaim of our Mishnah. So I'm a Rav Papa Kmatim Shekichu Bekli ika beinayhu. So the so let's say it was a kometz that was sanctified in a kli. L'tanai didan lo yardu, according to our Mishnah, and the tanaim of our Mishnah doesn't go down. Meaning, according to both of the Tanaim of the Mishnah, I'd say all three, meaning we can even include Rabbi Shimon. But just conceptually, it's just easier in our Mishnah to just look at Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel. According to the Tanaim of our Mishnah, so in other words, it's a mincha offering. So as a mincha offering, and it's ra'oi, it's fit because you already took the komets, and you put the komets in the klisha race. So now, if it's disqualified, it goes up, it stays up on top of the mizbech. L'tanai demas nisa, but according to the Braisa, yardu, it's to be taken down. Why? Because it's not an animal. In other words, the only thing that goes up and remains up on the Mizbech, even though it's disqualified, are only animals, but not menachos. Okay, so that is a striking difference between the Tanaim of the Braisa versus the Tanaim of our Mishnah. And now a summary. Reish Lakish is going to provide for us a summary of everything we just learned. So in other words, you put together the three opinions of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon. You take the two opinions we just learned together in the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. And now, Rabbi Reish Lakish provides for us a summary. I'm Reish Lakish. After the summary, by the way, the Gemara is going to point out, it's very good, it was very helpful, but usually it's not the Amora's job to there create charts and create summaries of everything that we learned. That's our job. You know, our job is to organize the information. Usually I'm a rhymer providing chidushim, or some sort of novel concept, a novel idea. Okay, but I'm Reish Lakish.
But the thing is, the whole discussion between the five people that we're discussing, it's like a multi-generational. They're not in the same generation. You know, like,
yeah, in other words, right. Our Mishnah is describing, well, Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Shimon is like a two generations below Rabbi Gushan,
Rabbi Shimon is generally Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right. The Mishnah, the Talmud, Rabbi Akiva.
Two generations after Rabbi Akiva.
Okay, all right, fine. Fair point. I'm Reish Lakish. So here we go. So let's do this. Let's break up his statement into four components. Maybe that's what I did. Okay, number one. Mincha ba b'fnei atzma. Now, the first category is a mincha that comes independent. We're not talking about a carbon mincha. We're talking about nesachim, but nesachim that are coming independently. Now, let me try to make this point very clear. Generally speaking, with every carbon that you bring, nesachim come along with it. It is an accessory to the carbon. A mincha itself, when I say mincha over here, I mean nesachim. Nesachim in of itself is, not in of itself, but nesachim that comes in conjunction with the carbon is made up of wine, oil, and flour. The wine and the oil are poured on the top of the mizbech in the southwest corner, where there are two canals, two cavities that receive it, and it flows down to the base of the mizbech, and then there's some sort of drainage system in which it washes away. And then the Gemara in Sukkah talks about how there actually are, there are actually pits below that actually collect the wine and the oil, and the flour itself is burnt on the mizbech. But in other words, but the nesachim, the wine and the oil, is poured on the top of the mizbech, and it's there as an accessory to the carbon. So that means to say that when I bring the carbon, so I bring also the nesachim that come together with it. As we're going to learn in just a moment, the nesachim do not have to be brought on the exact same day that you're bringing your karban. Nesachim could be brought the next day. Nesachim could be brought, we learned earlier in the Gemara, even 10 days later. But in other words, but it's an accessory to the karban. What you can also do, if you so choose, is that you can donate nesachim in of themselves. Generally, it is an accessory to a karban, but if you would like to make a donation to the mizbeach, you would like to bring a karban to the mizbeach, and for whatever reason, right now, what interests you is offering oil and wine on the mizbech. Nesachim can be sanctified and brought up in of themselves.
What do they do with the oil? The wine they draw, they pour.
They pour. They pour oil also.
Or they open the oil. In the four corners.
Yeah, I think so. So mincha haba b'fnei atzma. So here, when the Gemara is describing mincha haba b'fnei atzma, it's describing nesachim brought independently. If you want to see the Rashi, you have to look on the top next page. Sometimes the publisher of the Gemara just offset a little bit the Rashi's in the Gemara. Most of the time, he did a fantastic job. But in other words, Rashi's on the top next page. Blula kula biglal atzma kegonim esnad dev minchas nesachim. Below Zevach. The Eshalasos came. You're allowed to do that. So what each Tana would say in the event that this becomes disqualified. So, Mincha b'fnei atzma l'divrei kulan lo seired. Now, according to everybody, it doesn't go down. Now, when we say everybody, we don't mean everybody. Right, we mean everyone in the Mishnah. So everyone in the Mishnah says it doesn't come down. L'divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili v'Rabbi Akiva teired. But according to the Tanaim of the Brais, it goes down. In other words, again, this is really easy to conceptualize. Meaning the Tanaim of our Mishnah are not exclusive to animals. It's just a question of Mishnah of, is it burnt or is it not burnt? But in other words, but as long as it goes up onto the Mizbeach, and even if it's a non-animal, our Mishnah is okay with that. Meaning it could stay there. Masha'en Kein, the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva are limiting it only to animals. So that would be a striking difference between the Tanaim of our Mishnah and the Tanaim of the Braisa. Number two. Mincha ba im hazevach. Now, let's say it's a mincha that comes as its standard accessory to a karban. So, l'divrei Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua lo seired. According to both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, it doesn't come down because it goes onto the mizbech. Parts of it are burnt onto the mizbech, so it stays on the mizbech. However, l'divrei kulan, as far as everybody else, meaning Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, and certainly the two Tanaim of the Braisa, Teireta comes down again. Number three, Nesachim Aban Bifnei Atzman, L'divrei Kulan, if it's just the Nesach, meaning if it's just the liquid, so L'divrei Kulan Yardu, according to everyone in our Mishnah, comes down. So the...
Question for you.
Mincha haba balula kula biglal atzma kevin emisnah dev minchas nesachim. You seem to be correct. Right, we did that. Sorry, nesachim haba mifan kagon emisnah dev yayin below zevach. I don't know. Rashi over here says it's just wine.
I mean, why would you call it mincha?
I know, but the Rashi on the top. I hear you, but the Rashi on the top. No, I think I'm gonna stick to my story.
Because get it back once you pour it.
You don't get it back. That's not.
No, it's
to oh, in other words,
you read it.
You don't pour it.
You're right. In other words, it's before you poured it.
Oh, before you poured it.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I think I'm right about this. Okay. Okay, right, but that's, we're just talking about the objects themselves. Okay, nisachim habayim bifnei atzman l'divrei kulan yardu. So according to everybody, it comes down. L'divrei Rabbi Gamliel v'Rabbi Shimon lo yardu. But according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon, it does not come down. In other words, when we say everybody, again, you just have to look at the five and see who's not mentioned in the next in the very next words of the Gemara. So that means that Rabbi Yoshua of our Mishnah, and the two Tanaim of the Braisa, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosei Galili, Nesachim is not an animal, and therefore comes down again. Masha'inkin, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon, it gets to stay there. Rabbi Gamliel, because it's simply, the qualification is, as long as it goes up on the Mizbeach, the wine does go up on the Mizbeach. According to Rabbi Shimon, only as an accessory comes down, but brought independently, it stays on the Mizbeach. And finally, Nesachim Abayim and Mazevach, and now if it's just, this is now number four. If it's nesachim that comes together with a carbon, l'divrei kulan yardu, l'divrei gamliel l'chudei lo yardu. So now, as an accessory, according to everybody, it comes down, as opposed to Rabbi Gamliel, who says it does not come down, because again, Rabbi Gamliel has the widest berth in terms of what the mizbech is mekadesh. He says anything that goes up, this went up, therefore comes down again. To which, after the Gemara now has gone through the... the Reish Lakish summary statements of our Mishnah, Pshita. The Gemara ends off by saying, well, that's obvious. Meaning, in other words, once you know their positions, you just all we're doing is just plugging it in. So in other words, what the Gemara is bothered by is, it's obvious. Mincha ba bifnei atzmai tzerichle. The Gemara says, no. The mincha that comes in of itself. Uchid rav adam rav misnadev adam minchas nesachim b'chol yom. So the Gemara says, because this idea that you could bring minchas nesachim, the general accessory that comes together with the carbon, wine, oil, and flour, that comes together with every carbon, I might have thought that it can only come as an accessory. It cannot come in of itself. Rava teaches us that, no, it can come in of itself. And what Reish Lakish is teaching us is that I agree with Rava. To which the Gemara says, V'nishmeim k'derava. Okay, great. The Gemara says, but we didn't have to go through this whole exercise just to hear that Reish Lakish agrees with Rava. Why doesn't Reish Lakish say, hey, I agree with Rava? So the Gemara says, Nesachim Abayim Mazevach Itzterichle. So the Gemara says, you're right. Let's change our tune. Let's to the Chiddush of the summary of Reish Lakish is the Nesachim that come together with the carbon. Dekam Makriv Luhu Lamachol Luhu Machara. Because in other words, as we already described, Nesachim do not have to come on the same day as the carbon. It can come tomorrow. It can come even the day after that. Sakadat Chamino Hova Amar Mar Minchasam Neskehem Balayla Minchasam Neskehem Lamachar. So that the Nesachim can come the night after the carbon. It can come the day after the carbon. Rashi points out there's a Gemara that says it can come 10 days after the carbon. We saw that earlier. So since the Nesachim come on a separate day, so here's the Hava meaning we would have entertained. Ki Nesachim Haban Bifnei Atzman Damu Umodi Rabbi Shimon Delo Yardu. So I would have entertained the following Hava meaning, even though these Nesachim are brought as an accessory to the carbon. But because they were not brought as the same day as the carbon, they were brought that night, they were brought the next day, they were brought 10 days later, maybe halachically they are to be treated like an independent nesachim, whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, then it can remain on the top of the Mizbeach. And Kamashman, and the Chiddush there for Reish Lakish is that no, when it's brought as an accessory, even if it's not brought on the same day, it's still viewed halachically as an accessory, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, it is to come down if it was brought up onto the Mizbech in a disqualified state.
But it has to be the machshava of personal bringing, because you could have in mind that it's bringing it independently and not related to the,
It depends on how, right. I imagine when you invest Kedusha into it, you're clear about what it's for.
Is accessory independent or is accessory connected?
It can be both. That's exactly the point. It can be both. It can either be an accessory, it can be independent. So if you're bringing it as an accessory, so according to Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, so it does not remain on the Mizbech, only the actual Mizbech, only the actual carbon itself. If you're bringing it independently, so then it can remain on the Mizbech. And what Reish Lakish is just simply pointing out is that even when sanctified, when consecrated as an accessory, even if it's not brought on the same day, it's still viewed as an accessory.
What is the... Who trumps who in this in general? I mean, Rabbi Yosef Agudi is the top usually.
I don't know if I can make such a sweeping statement. I don't know. We start with the mission where Pei Dalam and Aleph.
Rambam has a position in this.
No? I mean, he takes a sign on which one the Mizbech and the Mekadesh, but that doesn't mean that we can, you know, he can generalize.
Okay, but he says the bottom line.
He follows like Rabbi Yeshua.
Rabbi Yeshua.
Yeah. Has to be burnt. Okay.
In all categories?
I don't know. Okay. We start with the Mishnah. Elo im alu liyardu. Okay. And so now we've been speaking in very broad terms in terms of if it's disqualified. Now we didn't talk about which disqualifications, and there are a lot out there. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to categorize. We're going to list a number of disqualifications. We're going to categorize the disqualifications, and we're going to just simply cite which ones can the Mizbech tolerate and which ones are just simply intolerable, even if it goes on top of the Mizbech. Elohim alu, elu, im alu liyardu. So here are now, I numbered it 7. Here are, you can argue with the numbering, my numbering system, but it doesn't matter. Here are a list of disqualifications where the Mizbech can tolerate them. Number one, halan. Lina, by the way, sounds a lot like nosar, but as I keep going over this again and again, I get it. I know what the difference is. Lina is the term that we use to describe both for those things that are going on the Mizbech, meaning the blood and the imurim. So for blood and imurim, so the proper term over there is lina, meaning, as we learned earlier, sunset comes, blood now is past due, and you can't bring it. And the same thing with the imurim. Imurim of a carbon have to be brought that day. If you don't bring it that day, so now it's subject to lina. Lina is a disqualification, which means now you no longer can bring it onto the Mizbech. The word nosa that we use is to describe the meat of the carbon that we are consuming. So, and by the way, we're only describing in this perek parts that are destined to go onto the Mizbech, which is why we're not going to be describing nosar. Like, you know, I like it when it finally clicks. Okay, so number one is lina. Number two, yotze. Any part of the carbon that is taken outside of the Azara now is subject to the psul of Yotze. It's disqualified. You don't bring it up onto the Mizbech. Number three is Tameh. That we've discussed extensively throughout this Masechta. If the blood or the Imurim becomes Tameh, again, disqualified. Number four, Shenishchat Chutzos Mano, where the carbon was shechted with the intent of eating it beyond its prescribed time. Number five, Chutzim Kamo. If it was the Kohen when shechting or doing any one of the four avodas, had in mind to eat it beyond its prescribed place. Number six, v'shekibul psulim. If, let's say, a non-Kohen did the Kabbalah Adam, shechita could be done by both Kohen and non-Kohen. But when it comes to the receiving of the blood, it can only be done by a Kohen. If a non-Kohen were to receive it, that disqualifies the carbon. Number seven, v'zarku asdama. Or if a non-Kohen were to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbech, it's really the same as the Kabbalah Adam. Okay, but still. In other words, if he did that, that also would be disqualification. So those are a list of various disqualifications where tolerable, meaning it shouldn't go onto the Mizbech, but if once it goes onto the Mizbech, it remains on the Mizbech. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shenishcha Balayla, if it was shechted at night, Vishenishbach Dama, if the blood was spilled, we're going to describe that in more detail later in the Gemara, because we learned that under certain circumstances, spilled blood is not a big deal. You just simply pick it up and you put it back into the bowl. So we'll describe that a little bit later on. The yasadam echutz the klayim, or if the blood was taken outside the klayim, outside of the walls, im alsa teirad. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, these three that we just listed are intolerable. The Mizbech cannot tolerate them If it goes up at the Mizbech, it comes back down again. Why these three? Stay tuned. We're going to describe that later on. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Lote. Right? And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says that even these three that we just introduced, shechting at night, having the blood spilled, and where the blood has left the azara, so lo seirid, it doesn't come down again. Share Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol shepsula bekodesh hakodesh mekablo, lo yapsula bekodesh ein hakodesh mekablo. Rabbi Shimon says this as a rule. What can the mizbech tolerate? What can the mizbech not tolerate? So he gives us a generality, and it reads like this. We've seen this earlier in the Masechta. As long as the psul is bekodesh, in the sanctified area, so then, hakosh mekablo, mizbech can tolerate it. But it's lohe yapsula b'kodesh, but if the psul was not in the kodesh, in the kodesh mekablo. Now that's a great rule. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi over here offers one opinion, Tosos offers another. We're going to stick with Rashi for this morning. Rashi, and by the way, this machlokas Rashi and Tosos was also discussed earlier in the Masechta as well. Right? Tosos references, go back to Samaches. And there you're going to see the same debate over there as well. Rashi over here writes, what do you mean, Shayapsul Bekodesh? Mishaba la Azara Nifsala. It only becomes disqualified after it's brought into the Azara. So any disqualification that occurs after it's brought into the Azara is something which the Mizbech can tolerate. If, however, the Psul predates its introduction into the Azara, so then the Mizbech cannot tolerate it. Now, if you want to put that now into practical terms, what would that mean? So let's say, for example, I mean, the Mishnah is going to say this, but in other words, just to hear the rule and hear its application. Rova v'nirva, if an animal was sodomized, so that obviously that animal is disqualified for the Mizbeach, and presumably that happened before it entered the Azara. Now, one of Tosfos' questions against Rashi earlier in the Masechta is, well, that could also occur in the Azara itself. In other words,
what could occur in Azara?
The animal could be violated.
I see.
Right. But the idea behind Rashi is that generally it happens before it goes into the Azara. So in other words, since that psul predates its entrance into the Azara, so the Mizbech cannot tolerate it. This is Rabbi Shimon's guiding rule. The Elu Shaloh Hayu Psulim Bekodesh, and the Mishnah gives examples. I mean, I happen to have just given the first of the Mishnah's examples, but these are examples of disqualifications that predate its entrance into the Azara, and as a result of that, the Mizbech cannot tolerate it. One, Harova Vanirva, an animal involved in bestiality. Hamuksa, an animal set aside as a Avodah Zarah Vineva, the animal is actually worshipped as a Avodah Zarah. Esnanu Mechir, two disqualifications. One is easy for me to explain. One is not so easy for me to explain. Esnan, when a prostitute is getting for her services rendered an animal for payment of services rendered, reference to that, Breishis Perek Lamed Ches. So that animal that she receives as payment cannot be used as a carbon. And for that, I think that's very, I think that just, it's self-evident. Meaning pasnished. It's just not, that's not appropriate to be brought as a carbon. Mechir, any animal that's exchanged for a dog. The Torah says that if there was an exchange between an animal and a dog, that animal cannot be used as a carbon. More difficult for me to explain. Right, I like dogs. So I don't own one, but I like them. Torah just said Mechir Kalev. Okay. So number six, Kalayim, an animal that's crossbred. A hybrid crossbred animal is pasul for a carbon. Trefa, any animal that suffered where one of its internal organs is punctured, severed, based on all the rules that we're going to learn together in Chulin, in the third perek. So such an animal is disqualified to be brought as a carbon. Granted, most of the time the discovery of the trefa is after you shecht it, but still. In other words, again, generally, this disqualification will predate its entrance into the Azara. Yotze Dolphin, any animal that's born via cesarean. And finally, Bali Mumen, and an animal that has a physical blemish. A physical blemished animal is going to be disqualified. Not only that, but the Mizbech cannot tolerate it. Even if it goes up into the Mizbech, it comes down.
This discovery is made before it was offered as a designated korban, not after, but into the Azara, right?
Well, in other words, let's assume, again, with all these things, meaning we can come up with scenarios in which some of these can occur even after it entered the Azara, but again, as a guiding rule, generally these occur before it goes into the Azara. Rabbi Kiva Machshir Babali Momim, now Rabbi Kiva says that a physically blemished animal is okay, the Mizbech can tolerate it. We're going to learn together, you probably know this already, because we saw this earlier in the Masechta. We're going to learn together that Rabbi Akiva was not just saying this as a blanket statement with all physical blemishes. He's only talking about the more subtle type of physical blemishes. The classic example that's always given by the Gemara is Dukin Shiba'ayin, a cataract in the eye, a quote-unquote, a minor physical blemish. Rabbi Chanina Biskana Kohanim, that's a name that should sound familiar. We saw this, he gets prominence in the first parak of Pesachim. Rabbi Chanina is going to call him Omer. Doche haya aba es bale momen me agabe mizbech. I'm attesting. This is like an adios type Mishnah. I'm attesting to the fact, I'm testifying that I saw my father take physically blemished animals and just yank him right off the mizbeach. Okay.
If that's the case, he has seen many other things, like where the location of the Mizbeach was and so on and so on. It would have been a great source. I mean, like, he has so much discussion where the Mizbeach was and so on.
Yeah. It would have been... Correct. Kishem shi'im ala lo yardu kach im yardu lo yalo. Now, the Mizbeach is collated. It serves as like a sanctuary, right? It's my ear miklat imagery. Okay, but as long as it's on the Mizbeach, it stays there. Any one of these disqualified karbanos that went up onto the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach is collated and stays there, but let's say for whatever reason it comes down again. Don't bring it back up. Meaning the idea that the Mizbeach is collated is only while it's there. But if it comes down again, im yardu, lo yalu. That doesn't give you the right, doesn't grant you the permission to simply put it back up again. V'kulun sha'alu chayim l'rosh ha'mizbeach yardu. So here's the Mishnah I told you, I foreshadowed. Here's the Mishnah now describing a scenario where an animal just walks right up to the top of the Mizbeach. So, im alu chayim l'rosh ha'mizbeach yardu, so you just simply pull it down again. Okay, come back. Ola sha'alta chaya l'rosh ha'mizbeach terein. A carbonola that goes to the top of the Mizbeach, so you bring it back down again. Now, I guess the Mishnah over here wants to repeat itself regarding the carbonola, because with the other carbonos, like, you totally understand, not every part of the animal is going to go onto the top of the Mizbeach. But in other words, with the carbonola, look, in terms of conservation of time, we're here on the top of the Mizbeach anyway. And I want to report to everybody that this is where the animal's going to end up anyway. So why not just shecht it over here on the top of the Mizbeach? But the Mishnah says no. Bring it back again. Shachta b'rosh ha'mizbeach. Now, the next line of the Mishnah is kind of funny because the Mishnah just gave very clear instruction. Bring it down. But in the event that he had shecht on the top of the Mizbeach, so now it's a carbonola that got shechted on top of the Mizbeach. Yashit v'yinsachah b'mkomam. So what you'll do is you will flay it, because the only thing of the carbonola that doesn't get burned on the top of the Mizbeach is its hide. The hide go to the Kohanim. So flay it, cut it up, because the carbonola is cut to pieces. And right there on the top of the Mizbeach.
What's the blood?
And I imagine the blood gets sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The Gemara starts off, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zos Hi Ha'ola. So now you remember in the Mishnah, so we had really two opinions in the Mishnah in terms of categories of disqualified animals that the Mizbeach is able to tolerate. We had Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now Rabbi Shimon gives us a base rule of Kol She Psulim B'Kodesh versus Kol Shelo Hayu Psulim B'Kodesh. In terms of Rabbi Yehuda, so what is, he drew a line. In other words, seven disqualifications the Mizbeach can tolerate, three things that the Mizbeach cannot tolerate, and what cuts right into that line? What is the demarcation? So Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Zos Ya'ola. So the Torah says Zos Hi Ya'ola. The word Zos is a miyut. The word He is a miyut. Ha'ola, the Hey, that's also a miyut. Hari Elu Gimel Miyutim. So with those three miyutim, so one is excluding where it's shechted at night, v'shenishbach dama, or where the blood is spilled, v'shiyasa dama chutz l'klayim shim alta lo seyred. Sorry. Shim alta teyred. Important correction. Okay, so these three miyutim are speaking to these three disqualifications. The why these particular three disqualifications? So, not totally clear to me in terms of why necessarily these three. But in other words, from the generality of the Mizbeach can tolerate, three of them are taken off the list. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ola. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the starting point for this entire discussion is the Torah saying the word Ola. Now you'll forgive me, I know I read all that really quickly, but basically every single disqualification we read in the Mishnah, and oh by the way, in this list also just a couple more, meaning blood of a carbon where it should have gone above the chutz sikra and it was applied below, or vice versa. A Pesach and a Chatas were shechted shelo lishman. It was shechted with another carbon in mind, which we learned on day one of this Masechta is disqualified. So in other words, for Rabbi Shimon, the starting point is almost any disqualification. Minayin tam lamar Torah sa'ola. Riba Torah achas achola olin. Shim alo lo yardu. So for Rabbi Yehuda, it is everything. Basically, the Torah is giving a ribui. The Mizbeach is able to tolerate nearly every disqualification. Okay, but what about those things where the psul occur before it enters into the Azara? Like the list we saw in the Mishnah, the Gemara just simply repeats the list of an animal involved in the bestiality and all the other examples in the Mishnah. Tamalamar Zos. So the Torah said the word Zos. Umaris Larabas is Elo Hos is Elo. And now, why is it that we have a list that we included, a list that we excluded? What draws a line in the sand for Rabbi Shimon? Achar Sheriba Hakasov, top of Pedal Medbeis. Umiut Marba Anias Elu Shayapsul Mekodesh, Mosi Anias Elu Shalo Yapsul Mekodesh. So for Rabbi Shimon, the dividing line between the two is this idea of that which is Psula Bekodesh versus that which is Eno Psula Bekodesh. Rav Yehuda Maisi Lemahacha. Now the Gemara points out, good. So far what we seem to not now know is the source for Rabbi Shimon, the source for Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara now notes that we have a Braisa for Rabbi Yehuda that actually seems to provide a different source. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Maisi Lemahacha. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't he generate from the following? Mimne ma amru lan bedam kasher. Blood that experienced lina. So how do I know that that's okay? Again, okay meaning shouldn't go on the Mizbeach. But once it goes onto the Mizbeach is collate. So the Gemara says, Sha'arei lan kasher b'imurim. So the Gemara says, well, I know that lina is okay when it, as it relates to the imurim. If the certain organs that are supposed to go onto the top of the Mizbeach, right, the diaphragm, the kidneys, the chalef that's on the two of them, so they experience lina, they go on to the Mizbeach. So if by the Imurim going on to the Mizbeach the disqualified Imurim going to the Mizbeach is acceptable, so is the blood. But the Gemara says, but that of course only begs the next question. How do I know that? Lan bi Imurim kasher sha'arei lan kasher bebasar. Now the Gemara over here makes an argument which, if you think about the argument, is really hard to defend. How do I know that if blood or Imurim experience lina, and it goes on the Mizbech, it's okay? Well, you know, the next day by Karban Shlamim, you know the meat's okay. So since the meat of the Karban Shlamim the next day on day two is okay, so therefore the blood and the Imurim of a Karban the next day is also okay. Okay meaning if it goes on Mizbech, it doesn't come down again. Later the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. What kind of argument is that? It's a really difficult argument to defend. Meaning the meat of a Karban Shlamim on day two is perfectly legitimate. It's not okay. Meaning, right, there's no disqualification over there. How can we make a halachic jump from the meat of a Karban Shlamim on day two to the blood in the Imurim, which now is past due, and it's disqualified? Gemara is going to ask that question. Number two, Yotzei Sha'a Yotzei Kasher Bebama. And as far as Yotzei is concerned, says Rabbi Yehuda, in this Braisa, how do I know that Yotzei is okay? Because Kasher Bebama. Because we know that there was a time historically where we offered carbonos in our backyard, and was there any perimeter? No. In other words, you could take the carbon after you bring the carbon in your backyard, you could take it wherever you want. You can go to your neighbor, you can go down the block. There's no psul Yotzei. Tama, under certain circumstances, Tama Hoshir but Sibor. So that's why the Mizbech can tolerate that. Chutzes Mano, Hol Meratzel Pigolo. Chutzem Kamo, Hol Vitkishle Chutzes Mano. How about a Chutzes Mano, Chutzem Kamo? Well, as we describe time and again, Pigol, of course, is bad. But in other words, but Pigol is only going to be affected when you do it correctly. and chutz and chutzim kamo. Well, he's the first cousin to chutzas mano. And ideas which we expressed already a number of times. Shekiblu psulim v'zarko is daman mahanach psule da'chazul avodat sibor. A disqualified person were to either accept the blood or sprinkle the blood. I don't know, the Mizbech can tolerate that. Well, under certain circumstances, they can serve in the Beis HaMikdash, i.e., let's say, for example, when the tzibur is tamei, so you can have a tamei kohen now doing the avoda. I normally is disqualified. But under extenuating circumstances, it would be fine. So basically, in this brisa, this variant brisa, Rav Yehuda is making logical, and I'm only stuttering because the first one wasn't so logical. Mm-hmm. But basically, some svara arguments in terms of why the Mizbech can tolerate all these things, because we see halachically there are given latitudes regarding these particular disqualifications. The Gemara now asked the question, V'chidan davish lo be'achsher medavish e'achshero. So how is Rabbi Yehuda making that first leap? Well, the blood that experienced lina is okay because the Imurim experiencing lina is okay. And a morim experiencing lina is okay because, well, the meat on day two is okay. The meat on day two is okay because it's okay. That's what you're supposed to do. Shlamim are in for 2 days. So, Tana Azos Tarasa Ola Riba Samechle. So the Gemara says that really it's not the argument that is providing his halachic source, but rather it's the drasha that we learned on the previous Amud. It happens to be that this Bryce over here is just giving us like an asmachta, right? That's Rashi's description over here, right? La asmachta lemilsa. Meaning it's that it's just a way to help us remember it. It's not really the source of his position. I'll stop over here.